Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear friends. If you were to put together a top 10 list of the most influential people in our world today, who would you put on that list? Would you put celebrities, maybe athletes or politicians, or maybe leaders in science and technology? But if I were to ask you to also match up that list with the most moral and upright citizens, would those two lists match up? I think you all know the answer to that. Often those people that we hold up as leaders in industry, those role models, aren't exactly what we would promote for our kids or our grandchildren as somebody to aspire to be more like. We've seen it plenty of time, those role models. Well, they don't have such morals that are beyond reproach. We've often seen with role models and celebrities that eventually their stars are tarnished or that their stars fade over time. So maybe if I were to ask you to broaden your approach and to make a list of the top 10 most influential people the world have ever seen, but also the most moral and upright, those who could claim morals beyond reproach, do you think it would be any easier? Or maybe you would say, well, that makes it even more tougher, and I could only name a few. But there is one who could make that list. The very one that we're here to celebrate and to remember tonight, the one who is perfect in every way, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question, though, for us this evening is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as high priest, was he too perfect? After all, the high priests that the people were used to were sinners through and through, just like you and me. How could Jesus, as God Almighty here on earth, possibly begin to sympathize with us in our weakness? Now, that was one of the questions that the original intended recipients of this letter to the Hebrews were really asking. And so how do we reconcile that? Well, we see tonight our high priest, our perfect and ultimate high priest, Jesus, who was the high priest then and for each and every one of us today. We read today from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Now, from a purely historical perspective, the people were used to having high priests among them. They were used to have chosen someone from their community. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, we read this: every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Now, there was great responsibility placed on the shoulders of this man. After all, he was standing there as the representative or the intercessor of the people in prayer and in ceremony. It was the solemn duty of the high priest to offer up those sacrifices and those rituals on behalf of the people. And then there was that Day of Atonement, that big sacrifice where the priest, the high priest, was chosen to first sacrifice and then take some of that blood from the sacrifice and go into the temple, walk right through the curtain into the most holy of holies and pour that blood over the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. In some ways, the high priest in that day was the supreme court of religious opinion. It was also his duty to make sure the truth was preserved, to punish those who had tried to change the truth or rejected it. But for all his power and for all his authority, the high priest was still just a man, A man just like you and me. A man who had his own sins. A man who had his own family problems. A man who had his own weaknesses. He was a sinner. And if you need some examples, just look back in the history of the high priest. Go back to the Old Testament and you see the high priest Eli and his sons who were less than moral superstars. Go ahead to Jesus' day and the high priests were really puppets in a way under a convoluted system of the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the king, and even Caesar himself. But then there was Jesus. A very different high priest. After all, Jesus did not grow up serving in the temple. Jesus was not from that Levitical line of priests. Jesus had not gone to a rabbinical training school to learn how to preach and teach in his local synagogue. Jesus certainly was not about to go to the temple and walk right into the Holy of Holies. He wasn't about to offer up his own sacrifices on fires outside the temple. For all intensive purposes, Jesus was about the furthest thing away from being a high priest among the Jewish people that you could find. And yet, Jesus was exactly the high priest that the people then and the world today still needs. Because Jesus was just like the people he came to serve. Jesus was true man in every way. And that humanity is on full display there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays in all earnestness that that cup of suffering that he was about to drink, the death that he must endure, could be taken away from him. Now, some might look at that and on face value take it as a moment of weakness. But Jesus was never weak. Jesus never wavered from that mission that his Father had given him. Jesus wasn't about to go back on that promise that his Father had made that his Son would be that sacrifice, that he would bring salvation to the world. Humbly, Jesus accepted that task his Father had given him. He knew by his perfect life and by his death, he would destroy the curse of death, the curse of sin. And so in reverent submission, Jesus could pray, "Your will be done," and mean it without reservation. Now I just want you to think about that for a second. Jesus could pray, "Your will be done," knowing full well that it was his Father's will that he should die. But when it comes to us, how often do we pray in the Lord's Prayer, specifically in the third petition, "Your will be done," and secretly hope that God's going to make an exception in our case? We know that God is in control of all things, and yet at times we like to bend his ear to our will. We like to bend his ear and hope that he'll do it according to our timetable. And how many times, thousands of times perhaps, we've let those words slip out of our lips without any thought, without any heart behind those words. Secretly hoping that God is going to make an exception in our case, and rather than saying, "Your will be done, God," it's "My will be done." And it's not just in our prayers that we hope God will make an exception or he'll give us a free pass. You think about how often in our lives we're hoping that God is going to make an exception for us. We know very plainly what God expects in his word. We know how often we've grieved him and pained him as we've lusted and then caved in to the temptations all around us. We know very well the promises we made at our confirmations, those promises we make to our spouse, and yet we struggle to keep them. We grieve because we know how often we have let the devil pull out the worst in us. We cringe at night knowing how often we have fallen in with the crowd. And yet still, we hope God will make an exception, that He'll give us a free pass, that maybe He hasn't noticed the other 167 hours we're out there living for the world and not for Him. Perhaps we also secretly hope that God is too busy to notice. To notice that conversation we had with a coworker, those websites that we visited, that outburst of anger that we expressed, that gossip that we spread. But my dear friends, if you're hoping that God didn't notice, then you're sadly mistaken. In some ways, it's a wonder that Jesus would even come at all. And yet, Jesus came. Jesus came into this world to fulfill that promise that was made so long ago in another garden, when our rebellion was on full display. On that day, sin entered the world. We proved exactly what we are all about. And yet our God was not about to let us be destroyed by our own arrogance or our own ignorance. God had a perfect plan. A plan to send a sacrifice for the world. The plan to make things right before our God. Now, during the season of Lent, we've once again been able to witness what our Savior has done for us. That our Savior Jesus was not just any man who was cursed by the sinful effects on his mind and his morals. No, Jesus knew all along what he was getting himself into. He knew all along what was coming. And as he prayed in the garden that night, he knew that in a very few short hours, he would have his entire life's work called into question. His dignity taken. As he was mocked, as he was beaten, as he was bruised and bloodied, as he was humiliated. And Jesus knew that unlike the high priest before him, he was going to offer a sacrifice. But this was not a sacrifice of animals' blood, but that it would be his own blood that he would shed on the cross for the world. Jesus knew all that was coming. That he would be the perfect high priest to stand in the place of every person that has ever lived or ever will live. To take all of their sins on himself and take them to the cross. But it's also important to remember that Jesus was not just any man. Jesus was not just some good or some great man who did all of this for his own sake. Jesus was not just some good or great man who was able to do something no one else had done before. But Jesus was also true God. God Almighty in the flesh. And as he hung his head and cried out, "It is finished," he was speaking to the world. He was speaking to the devil that the effects and the consequences of sin had been dealt with forever. That the sacrifice was complete. And when that third day rolled around and they found that his tomb was empty, he proved to everyone beyond a shadow of the doubt who he really was. He was that perfect high priest. He was the Messiah that the world had waited for, the Messiah who gives life to a dying world. And because of our Savior and his sacrifice, now when our God looks at us, he doesn't see that sin-sick, disgusting sinner that we really are. No, when our God looks at us, he sees his Son and that sacrifice he made for us. Because of Jesus, we now have the right and the privilege to stand in God's presence. In some ways, we have the right to go behind the curtain because we are covered in Jesus' blood, cleansed because of his sacrifice. Now, I don't know if Jesus will ever make a top 10 secular list of the most influential people out there. partly because many people fail to recognize who he really is. But for us here tonight, he's number one. We know that Jesus' love, his character, his morals are above reproach. He was exactly the high priest that the world needed. He is the high priest who has given us a new life to live for him. That life where we can follow in his footsteps as he guides us home to heaven. We give thanks tonight that Jesus is that perfect high priest who has made all the difference for this life and the one to come. Amen.